shutting it down. Well, good evening. I'd like to take this time to welcome Darrow campus students, the online students, and those by Roku. Let us pray so we can get started. First thing I just want to say, God is so good. Yes, this school of ministry, if you pay attention in class, you will be on the cutting edge of what God do for the rest of the ages. I believe that we're in the midst of one of the greatest revivals to hit the planet Earth. And I just sense it. I know it. You know, some things you can't explain. You just got to know. And you know it. You know, and even the teaching tonight, as Apostle allowed Brother Gautreau, Reverend Gautreau, to share with us about rebellion. I believe that's a part of this move. Getting things back to God's original plan, God's original intent. And we know that for this generation, the greatest thing we see is rebellion against authority. Authority in this generation is from the home to the school to the White House. I've never seen such disrespect for authority. But there's a blessing when we submit to authority. Our lives can never be the same. Amen. So, Father, we thank you tonight for these students. We pray that you continue to use our apostle to impact not only our lives, but the lives of every student around the world that's tuned in. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life. We thank you for the royal family. We continue to bless them and lift them up in prayer, that you would continue to increase them and bless them more and more and more, and establish their influence throughout the whole earth. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit now. That's the true teacher. You said no man can know nothing except to be given to him from above. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, we know nothing. But you know all things, and you search all things. Yes, even the deep things of God, to make them known unto us. So we thank you tonight. Impart unto us, and we'll be forever grateful for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 1, we've been dealing with revival is a divine attack on society. And just for a few minutes when I was thinking about that, just think about it. Society is so rebellious right now. So remember I said one of the keys to revival in this generation is the restoration of the apostle and the prophet to the church. Because they are governmental gifts. You know, remember, God's heaven to earth. God's heaven to earth plan, he established in his divine order, first apostles, secondarily prophets. The scriptures teach us that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He holds it all together. So I believe that's why I said this is one of the greatest moves, a revival, because God is bringing things back to his original intent. All right? The closest biblical word we have to revival is the word revive, or reviving. And we said it came from the Hebrew word chaya, however you want to say it. Remember, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. So if they got an English teacher in here, help a brother out. It comes from a primitive root. It means to live. This word is also translated in Strong's. It means to nourish up. It means to preserve alive. It means to quicken. It means to restore. It means to save alive. And it also means to make whole. Okay, that's in chapter 1 of your book. Then there are four examples that's given We looked at one last week in Genesis 45:27. You remember how that Joseph, being Jacob's favorite son, favorite child. Yeah, we don't like that word too much. But there's nothing wrong with favor. You know, you don't cuss about favor until you see it on somebody else because you act like you don't have none. But I thank you that favor surrounds us like a shield. You know, when you're connected properly, favor will come upon you. God said a favor can be so strong that when you honor him and serve him, even your enemy will be at peace with you. So thank God for favor. So Joseph being Jacob's favorite, you know, his brothers hated him for it. And because of the dreams that he had, you know, sometimes a person telling a dream, your negativity is why you see things wrong. That boy had no idea what he was talking about. He was just a dreamer. But nevertheless, his dreams got him in trouble and his brothers ended up putting him in a pit, selling him into slavery. And his father thought he was dead. Now you can imagine, you know, any of you, if your child gets sick, you're hurt. Come on, talk to me up in here. You heard Brother Reverend Gautreaux share in the last class. How many of you know it hurt when you whip your children? I mean, I don't know. Ain't no sense you acting like you somebody different. You know, you hit them and you tell that to a child, they look at you like you're crazy. You tell a child, I hit you, I hurt. They go, yeah, right. Sure you hurt. Let me hit you back. So you can feel my pain. But it don't go like that. Children don't correct parents. Parents correct children. So you can imagine Jacob's heart when they told him that his son, his favorite son, was killed by some animals. And here the boy is alive off in slavery. But because God's favor was with him and God was with him, God raised him up. But remember, God's purpose was greater than what their brothers thought. They were doing it, to get rid of their own fears. But what they meant for evil, God said, I got it for good. So Joseph was the seed that went ahead that would preserve the entire posterity of Jacob. That means his entire everything connected to it. And so the Bible says in using this word revive that when Jacob saw the wagon that was sent to bring him and his whole posterity into Egypt where Joseph was, the Bible says his spirit came back into him. I believe he got a little hump in his step. I'm going to see my son. Come on, talk to me. Y'all act like y'all, ain't nothing like when you're children. Come on, somebody. You know, can I tell you something? Y'all want to know what makes the apostle's heart glad? When he see us getting what he putting out. Oh, I'm telling you something. You know, the greatest thing for a man of God is to see people paying attention, grabbing hold, watch this, and reproducing it. You know, so when Jacob saw that and he said, oh, man, my son is alive. Now, you know, it could have sounded like a fairy tale till he saw them wagons because he knew them wagons wasn't ordinary. Favor caused you to not use your stuff. Oh, y'all not talking here. Yeah. See, Pharaoh told Joseph, I don't want you to send nothing you got to go get your father. Send my wagons. This at my expense. Joseph went to Egypt as a slave and came out a father to Pharaoh. Now, if that ain't revival, then what is? Y'all want to know what this revival is about? The church taking over. Yeah. See, things may get darker in the world, but that's not our issue.
No, sir. No,
the darker it gets, the greater we should shine.
Yes, sir.
It is our assignment. See, in revival, it's our assignment to make all the kingdoms of the world subject to the Christ.
Yeah.
That's true revival.
Yeah,
everything that opposes the kingdom is being put up underfoot. Now, see, now you've been around church long enough, you ain't heard this. It's like the devil gonna tear things up. We looking for the rapture to get out. Now, y'all know that's a sad bunch of teaching. I mean, that is the saddest bunch of teaching I ever heard. Get mad if you want to. We talking about revival, catching the waves of revival. apostolic ministry is about dominating, bringing all things back into subjection.
Right.
All right? So the rapture, we got it like it's an escape hatch. Things gonna get so bad, God just got to get his poor little children out the world. Hell no. The Bible says that he must reign until every single enemy is made his footstool. And the foot is a part of the head, or I should say the whole body. Jesus is the head of the body. The feet's on the body. The feet get signals from the head. When something is put up under your foot, that means it's conquered. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself. So don't come playing, church. The reality of this apostolic move is we're going to even see death bow. What y'all looking at me like I'm crazy for? I thought y'all wanted a revival.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we didn't play church long enough. You know, let me talk to you. There is no such thing as an apostle without proof and evidence. Paul said, truly the signs of an apostle have been wrought in your midst. Nobody else don't know I'm an apostle. You should. I say if nobody else know Apostle Thompson is an apostle, we should. He has all of the divine demarcations of being an apostle. Amen.
Amen.
So we saw that Jacob's spirit was revived. Okay, so it goes on to say, now, revival starts from that small, hopeful conviction that one day we will see the glory and the power of God. That's really what happened to Jacob. I mean, he said, man, this is God. This is God. My son is alive. All right, let's go on to say, revival breaks forth from a hope that does not disappoint. Y'all heard that? Revival comes from a hope that does not disappoint. Now, y'all know when you are hoping something happen and it never happens, y'all say what you want. That don't feel good. They got young ladies who want to be married. Great young women. Come on, talk to me. And they see all these heathens and people who don't look good like they look. Y'all don't want to talk now. Oh, I'm fine. Oh, Jesus. How could she get mad? Oh, Lord, what's wrong? Yep. Now, hold up. I'm only using an example. Because y'all know we go here. Yeah, y'all don't want to talk. My emotions go here. I'm a good looking. Oh, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. Talk to me. Why he marrying that white girl? And he got this nice chocolate here. I'm trying to get some help. I'm just trying to help you in your thinking. I'm talking about, see, when you have a hope to get married and it's not manifesting, it said make the heart sick. Yeah. So the proverbs say hope deferred makes the heart sick. Revival comes from a hope that's supernatural, that brings with it such a confidence that you know it's done for it's done.
Yeah.
Y'all ready for this? You know you got your mate before they show up.
Yeah.
So now your hope ain't flickering. Y'all kind of quiet now. See, revival breaks forth from a hope that does not disappoint. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Now that scripture won't make no sense to you till you understand this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, God said, I'm the one give you the desires of your heart. Oh, now here we go. See, the problem is, when you seek God, you must understand it is God who's putting his desires in your heart. That's why they don't go unanswered. God said, I'm going to give you he make it look like it's yours, but it's his. God said, my plans for you are much bigger than what you think. So I'm going to put a desire in you to want something so I can give it to you. y'all kind of look at me like I'm crazy. That's exactly what he does. Delight thyself in the Lord. And he'll give you. Well, how do you delight yourself in the Lord? Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his, just like you delight in apple pie. Yeah, when you delight in something, it shows up. You can't eat a bunch of lemon pies and stay thin. Oh, y'all don't want to talk up in here. Now I'm talking. Somebody say, oh, Reverend, you real deep in here. No, I'm not real deep. I'm telling you the truth. You eat good, rich food with no exercise and no working out, something going to show up. Well, watch this. When you delight yourself in God, like I'm talking about, that's what this praying in the spirit is about. The more you pray in the spirit, you might start off 5-10 minutes. Keep getting drunk. Keep on getting high. Keep on getting addicted. Pretty soon, prayer going to be so addictive, you're going to be like, can't live without it. Can't do without it. Matter of fact, it's like the wino. It's like an alcoholic. I got to have my bottle first thing in the morning. And then it's so god doggone good, I want you to take a sip. That's what's happening in this revival. God is using the apostle to bring in things that the church have not seen and understood, because that is heaven to earth government. They cut pathways. God has not been able to do things in the earth realm as he desired, because we have not been living on the cutting edge. And when you live on the cutting edge, there is a price that's got to be paid. There's no convenience in the kingdom. There's great sacrifice in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, your whole life must be organized around what God is doing, not what you want to do. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So God say, when the desire cometh, it's a true of tree of life. You live from the inside. So God puts the desire inside, and anything you get and you desire it on the inside, it'll manifest. All right, so watch this. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 say, for our gospel came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. What is God telling us? God is saying no word of mine goes out and comes back empty. If I said it, now watch what I'm about to say. If I said it, it's already been performed. If I said it, it's already been performed. If I said it, see, a lot of people understand God. When God is very careful about what he says, because God knows when he says something, it's law. It's done. See, when God says something, he's not telling you what he's going to do. When God tells you something, it is what he's already done. Do you understand that? See, so God puts you in this process. That's why he gives you an assignment. But the assignment is really finished. He finishes the assignment and then put you at start, then say go. Then walk you through the process. See, he don't tell you about the hole you're going to fall in. He don't tell you about the rejection. He don't tell you about all of the disappointments you got to go through. My God. Oh, y'all thought you were just going to walk through life? No. These areas of revival calls for a tenacity, an unfailing faith, an unfailing confidence that what God told you coming to pass, no matter what hell try to stop it, it don't work. Y'all got it? I say, do you got it? Do you have it? All right, in Judges 15:19, the second aspect of revival, it reveals that Samson's thirst was quenched by the water that came from a supernatural source, which caused his strength to return, and he was revived. Now, if y'all know that Samson slew 10,000 with the jawbone of an ass. And after that great victory, you know, all your strength go out of you. God gave him, watch what it say, a supernatural source. watch this, to quench a supernatural thirst. One of the things we always hear apostles say, he said, the secret to my ministry is, number one, I recognize my infirmities. I recognize I can't do this. Okay? Some of us think our natural education, but let me tell you the truth. Apostle has spent so much time with God that the wisdom of God is so personified in his life. You know, to me, I said to me, you know, I see so much wisdom pouring out of it. I think to myself, Lord, if he didn't get it in school, he sure got it from your school, because he got it. That's the only way I can say it. He got it. Whatever it is, he got it. But it came from, he said, number one, I recognize my infirmities, you know, my weaknesses, and I always keep them before me to let God know this is not me, this is you. Yeah. Then the next thing that you can learn from Apostle is he is a man after God's own heart who is teaching us how to have a relationship with God. And watch this, to always be thirsty and to always be hungry. The minute you stop thirsting and the minute you stop hungering, you're going to stop your pursuit. God got to be pursued, baby. You can never exhaust him. See, that's why revival is so powerful, because those of us who are constantly moving with God is because we never are satisfied. We never look at no accomplishment as though we have arrived, because we understand there's more. Y'all with me? So that's another key to his life, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. If he ain't taught us nothing else, I'm telling y'all, he's a pastor of pastors. He definitely has the apostolic call. Are you listening? And this school is apostolic, and you should come out different and not regular. So Samson's thirst could not be quenched except it was quenched by a supernatural source. Praying in the Spirit will quench. Y'all better hear what I said. Praying in the Spirit will quench your supernatural thirst. But watch this. It's twofold. Now, I know you didn't see this coming, but it's twofold. It'll quench your thirst and make you thirsty. Yeah. Somebody said, what are you saying? I said, praying in the Spirit will quench your thirst and yet make you thirsty. All right. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you are born again, it's a well of water. That springs up into everlasting life. But a well got to get connected to a source greater than it. So Jesus said, if you believe on me, as the scripture had said, I'm not only going to be a well in you. That well is going to swell. That well is going to swell and become a river. That river is praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, that's rivers flowing. Come on now. You can't be thirsty. Not if you're praying in the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? It'll quench that thirst, and I say make you thirsty. It'll make you desire more prayer. All right. Y'all got it? So it goes on to say, revival starts as an unquenchable thirst that only a supernatural source can satisfy. So now think about it. That sounds kind of crazy. I tell you, it's going to satisfy your thirst and yet make you thirsty. Yeah. Now, that don't make no sense. But I'm not trying to make sense. Yeah. We're going into God's realm. Yeah. It's supernatural. What I'm saying is it will create a greater desire in you. That's why you might start off praying 5-10 minutes. Really be serious about it. You start waking up 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, I mean, it'll drive you. You'll be like a crack addict. Nice. Look at y'all. I'm telling y'all, apostle addicted. I've been around him. I've seen him. You walk around, he can be out here on the ground doing something. You'll find him, he over in the corner praying in the Spirit. So Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. I believe he said he learned from Paul. So I believe he's trying to tell us something. Pastors ought to be praying more than the church members. Okay, praise his holy name. Let's keep going. Revival is the coming on of a new freshness from the supernatural provision of God. A new freshness. Come on now. Then in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 22, it reveals that Elijah prayed, or his prayer was heard, and God responded to his voice. God responded to his voice by reviving and restoring a child. Now you read that. 1 Kings 17, 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and his what? His spirit, and he revived. Now, remember, under the old covenant, people were raised from the dead. But they died again. Under the new covenant. You believe, you don't die again. That's okay, that's another level. I said, they got something coming the church don't even see. We're being prepared for something, y'all. I told you the last enemy to be destroyed is death itself. Pay attention in class. All right, let's keep going here. It says that revival starts in response to our voice of prayer. God moves in response to our intercession. That's why God can't do nothing in the earth realm except he finds somebody who's willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Can I tell you something about prayer too that you need to understand? In this revival that we're in, when you are praying in the Holy Ghost, it say you build up yourself, right? But that's not the only thing you're doing. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, watch what I'm about to say. You are praying the perfect will for all of the saints of God in the body. That's why if you understand these things, you'll be motivated to pray. You want to know when you know you're serious about prayer? When you're watching the Super Bowl and God touch you and say, I need you to go pray in the back. I'm leave you alone, leave you alone. Or you at a barbecue. Or you're shopping. I had to talk to the ladies. I got the men, talk to the ladies. When you're in there, you got that nice dress and you're styling and profiling. God said, I need you to slip away and pray. No, what I'm trying to show you is, see, you got constantly got that ear listening and for the prompting of God. Because you don't have to just, you know, you don't have to just pray in the church. At prayer time and prayer hour. Now, I'm going to say something that's probably going to be revolutionary. But, you know, we need to pray more than one time a day. I believe the biblical pattern is three times. I need to talk about, see, in revival, God's going to get rid of this convenient church. Because, see, when you read the Bible, I know y'all not going to like this. Because some people say we go to church enough. No, in the Bible, they met every day. Every day. Church was 7 days a week. Oh, hell. Where we get this Negro from? Don't we go to church enough? All right, watch what I'm about to say now. Seekers of pleasure more than seekers of God. Just because you go every day don't mean they didn't get to enjoy life. It just meant they made sure that God had a part of all of their day. Hell, God, some of us don't see a Bible till Sunday. Let me go ahead on and read here. Let's get back over here. All right. Because, see, because in prayer you develop a relationship with God to the point that God can hear your voice and do things because you asked him to do it. I believe there are things that God do for people because the apostle asked him. He has favor with God. And he can approach God and say, do that for Ron, and God will do it. Y'all kind of quiet. That's power with God. Now, all right, so y'all got that? Huh? So revival, you see, the in great moves of revival, you see men make a petition and God move on it. Man, y'all say what you want. That's shouting ground. All right. All right. In 2 Kings 13:21, it reveals a dead man came back to life when his corpse touched the bones of Elisha. Now, that teaches you something. Elisha the prophet went off the scene. So that means it wasn't recorded where he was able to pass on his anointing to anybody. Because remember, Elisha served Elijah. Gehazi was Elisha's servant, but he wanted something that he didn't qualify for. So he got leprosy instead. But Elisha cut everything off and served Elijah. Are you listening? His servant failed the test. He dies, gets put in the grave. Y'all ready for this? And a man who was killed in war got thrown on top of him and came back to life. That anointing never left the earth realm. It was waiting for somebody to get a hold of it. See, apostolic ministry is about the ability to impart. See, y'all won't know why the church can't function, because we ain't been imparted to. We done went out with no impartation. Paul said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Great revivals. I mean, you follow revivals that have happened. It's because, I mean, some of y'all don't even know about Bishop Mason. You should. You heard about William Seymour. Because he was, you know, when the Pentecostal movement, he was a black man. And don't suck. I get tired of people trying to make like black folk can't lead. History hides what we have done. Because we still deal with, in this revival, racism in the church going to be exposed. Watch this. Exposed and expelled. Yeah. Exposed, and because let me talk to you, because God can't have that in his church. This church ought to be packed with every race and every all these people in this community benefiting from this apostolic anointing. And the only reason you won't come is because you tripping about the color of the man's skin, or you out of your mind. But that's the spirit that the world has been perpetuating, and it's crept into the church, and we got to stand up and through apostolic government deal with it. All right. Oh, Jesus, where I'm at now? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thank you. I had to find a word to get back. Yeah, see, Elisha served Elijah. Y'all listening to me? And that he got that impartation. He got a double portion of, watch this, Elijah's spirit, because he trained well enough to see. See, apostle just don't want us hearing, he want us to see. Catch. All right. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Revival starts with the principle of continuance. Continuance. See, do y'all understand this? You can't stop the church.
No.
Listen. The church cannot be stopped, contained, or limited. It just can't be. Jesus said, upon this rock of revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We got to quit preaching like the devil is taking over everything. No, he not. God always got a remnant who understands. We take over. We dominate. Y'all got it? All right. The principle of continuance. Revival starts when we become fully submerged in the teachings and revelations of the old order, and we become baptized by their message. Now, you know, we got all these Old Testament, New Testament people. You know, oh, I just read the New Testament. You better read the Bible. The Bible say all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through comfort of the scripture might have hope. Those men under the old covenant, watch this. We got a better covenant. The Spirit of God under the old covenant can only come upon men. We have the Holy Spirit within and upon. But they were so submerged in the agenda of what God was saying that they were able to do feats. We afraid of the lion's den. Daniel say, bring it on. I know somebody. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro said these words. Go ahead on, King. Do what you got to do. Heat it up 100 times more if you want to. But we are not bowing down to no other God. Do you understand that, O King? And I get so upset when I hear people preach this and they talk about, and if not. In other words, they were like, and if not, like God not going to deliver them. That don't even make no sense. I'm going to be bold to tell you God going to deliver me, then turn around and tell you, and if not. That don't make no sense. Those boys knew God was going to deliver them. Say, can't throw us in. God got us. We ain't afraid to go in. Why? We've been with Daniel. We've been training. He got out the lion's den. We coming out the fiery furnace.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Because, see, y'all know that hope, that hope, that hope. Our hope is in God. And God doesn't make a promise. God said, I'll be with you in trouble. Why? To deliver you. I'll get with you in the water. Why? So you don't drown. I'll get with you. Well, that's what happened when they went through the Red Sea. That was God going through there with them. Hello. Well, how come Pharaoh and his army didn't make it? They probably could swim and still got drowned. So in this move of God, I tell you, 2015 is going to be a year like no year. Make up your mind, you're going to dominate. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Watch this. It's like through the impartation that's coming from the apostle, there's coming a boldness and a confidence. I can do this. I can work. I can live like God wants me to live. I can be consecrated. See, revival begins with a consecrated lifestyle. Without prayer, without seeking God, without pursuing God, you can't get consecrated. Because God don't show me people ugliness. He show me mine when I'm in prayer. He ain't got me criticizing you and what you ain't doing. He's telling me, Ron, I need you to get this straight. Because when you do this, I got some other good stuff I want to give to you. Y'all kind of quiet. See, consecration. Well, y'all know consecration is not just a big word. It takes a lot of your love for God. That's another thing that really touches my heart about Apostle. He loves God. See, if a man loves stuff, a multimillionaire wouldn't be in here pouring out his life 6 o'clock Sunday evening. Y'all listening to me?
Amen.
He loves us enough. I mean, he could be laying back in Zion.
Yeah.
But he said, no, I want you to get it.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes. And y'all know we need more men of God like this.
Amen.
Because we need more men who are consecrated, dedicated, and sanctified. One of the things Apostle teach all of his sons around him, and y'all can take this to the bank, you're going to live a holy lifestyle. You're not going to play these games. Y'all kind of quiet up in the church. But that's just the reality of who we're around, and that's really this revival is bringing back to divine order. We've this grace message, you know, make us, you know, want you to think you can do anything. No. We got to stay close to the fire. All right? All right. We'll see y'all next time. Oh, real quick. All right. For the test, we'll send out a study guide. I think I made it, huh? Okay.